Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. I began this year, my very first sermon of the year, by quoting those words. As we launched this year of 2014 of being a church where grace overflows. Our theme verse for the year has been Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 through 10. For it is by grace you've been saved through faith. And this is not of yourselves, it's a gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. It's been good saying that every week, hasn't it? And that first Sunday that I preached, we talked about Ephesians chapter 2, and we talked about grace and what Paul was saying in those verses. And I mentioned that Sunday, if you recall, that there were two key components to grace that Paul is sharing in those verses. First of all, he's saying that grace is about acceptance. That before we were dead in our sins, but God has accepted us. There's nothing we can do to make God love us more. There's nothing we can do to make God love us less. Isn't that great? God accepts us right where we are, and he gives us a gift. He gives us the gift of salvation, and it's not about us. It's not about our good works. It's not about our deeds. It's not about whether we deserve it or not. It's not about whether we are worthy or not. It's a gift. It's a gift of grace. He accepts us right where we are. We're saved by grace through faith. But that's not the only part of grace. While that part is incredibly encouraging, it's not real transforming. There's another part of grace, and that is that grace is about invitation. God not just accepts us right where we are, but he invites us into a new way of life. We talked about that phrase, we are God's handiwork, and in the original language, that phrase really means we are God's poem. We were created by him to be molded and to be shaped by God and formed into what he wants us to be. We're invited into a new way of life, a life where we are serving him and honoring him with our life. Grace is acceptance. It's a gift of salvation, but it's more than that. It's an invitation into walking under his reign. It's an invitation into living for him and giving our lives for him. That Sunday, I told the illustration from the book Costly Grace by John Walker when he says that grace is kind of like an orchestra. Remember this from the book? Grace is like an orchestra, and God has invited you and me to be in his orchestra. And it doesn't matter whether you play an instrument really well. It doesn't matter if you're a very good musician. Still, God wants you to be in his orchestra. Isn't that great? It has nothing to do with you. It has everything to do with God. But in order to be in his orchestra, and as we are accepted into his orchestra, God comes to us as the conductor and says, okay, if you're going to be in my orchestra, you got to let me teach you how to play, because you don't play very well. And if you'll listen to me and let me mentor you in how to play your instrument really well, if you'll let me show you how to handle your instrument, how to use breath and blow your instrument, if I can show you how to read music, if you'll let me teach you how to play, then you, along with everyone else, will make some beautiful music. And that's what grace is. Grace, first of all, is acceptance. God's saying, you can be a part of my orchestra. I'm giving you this gift. It's not because of who you are. It's because of me, and I'm going to invite you into my orchestra. But secondly, it's also about an invitation. It's about God saying, but let me teach you how to play, because you don't know how to play real well. Listen to me as your conductor. Let me teach you how to play a new way of life, and then you will make beautiful, good music. Maybe another way of putting that is that grace is about surrender. It's about coming to God and saying, God, I'm all yours. It's not about me anymore. It's about you. I want your salvation. I want your forgiveness. But more than that, I want your way of life. I want you to come into me and to put your grace into me to where I become a vessel of your grace to the rest of the world. the image that we've used to describe that has been the image of a cup. Like this. And in many ways, we're like this cup. We're empty, we're barren, and we want to be filled, don't we? We want to be filled. And so God comes to us with the water of his grace. And he fills us through Jesus. He fills us up. And he fills us not because of our cup, not because of how good the cup looks, or because of how sturdy the cup is, or because the cup is crystal, or anything like that. It has nothing to do with the cup. It has everything to do with God. God fills us out of grace, with his grace through Jesus. But he doesn't just fill us up a little bit. He doesn't just fill us up so that we feel content and satisfied and we can sit back and everything's okay. No. God wants to keep filling us. He wants to keep pouring his grace in our life over and over and over again until it begins to overflow. He wants to fill us up so much with his mercy, love, and grace to where we become this instrument that's just overflowing with his grace to the rest of the world. And that has been our vision this year in 2014. We want to be that kind of church. A church where God's grace is so evident and is so manifested that it's just overflowing to our neighborhood and to the world. And so for the next 12 months, we talked about that. I preached on that. I preached from the book of Romans in the spring, and we looked at Paul as he talked to us about grace and what grace is. And you remember the painting we had of all the different hands and how all the hands, they looked very different. Some were big, some were small, some were different colors, but we all were in the same predicament. All of our hands were chained by the bonds of sin, and we need help. And where does that help come from? It comes from Jesus Christ. God in Christ giving us grace, releasing us from the chains of sin, making us one, as we sang in that song. Grace makes us one. Then in May, we talked about baptism. And we notice how baptism is really connected to the story of Exodus and how in baptism we move from being a slave to being free. We move from being dead in our sins to being alive in Christ. In the summer, I was on sabbatical. And so John Scott and Matthew Morgan and Randy Harris preached a series on being transformed and how when we open up our lives to God's grace, he begins to transform us. He transforms the way that we look at our marriage. He transforms the way we look at our vocation. He transforms the way we look at success and our identity. And then in September, we talked about friendship. That if we're going to be a church where grace overflows, we got to be a church where people can find friends. And we talked about what that looks like and showing grace to our friends, the friends in our life. In October, we talked about Jonah and how sometimes, like Jonah, we can run away from grace. We can run away from God's grace to us, or we can run away from God's grace for others. And sometimes we don't want to go to the Ninevehs of the world to let them know that God's grace is for them as well. And then we talked about prayer, and we studied the Lord's Prayer, and we let Jesus use the Lord's Prayer to mentor us into the art of saying grace. And we spent time in prayer together as a church. And then this past month, we talked about gifts of grace, and how one of the ways that God gives us grace is he gives us gifts that we can open up and use to let the world know about God and his grace. 12 months of preaching and teaching about grace. And here we are, the final Sunday of the year. What has God done among us? How has God changed us as we focused on being a church where grace overflows? I always struggle with how to quantify a year. How in ministry can you quantify moving from where we were to where we are now? And there are some people who say, well, look at attendance records or look at our offerings from the week or look at how many new partners we have or baptisms we have. And those may be indicators of church health from time to time. But for me, what I like to look at is stories. Stories of people within our church where what we were talking about was being lived out, where God's grace flowed into their lives and overflowed out of their lives. And so I want to take the next few minutes to share with you five stories from 2014, five stories where God's grace overflowed. With the help of Joan Smith, we have a video to share with you. The five stories are stories, some of that you know, some that you don't know. One story is of a man here at Southside who had a big transition this year where he was retired from his job. He went into retirement, I should say. But he used that transition, used that change as an opportunity for God's grace to overflow to those around him. Second story is of a young family here for many years struggled with infertility. But finally, they surrendered that challenge to the Lord, and God's grace surprisingly showed up in granting them not just one child, but two children. Third story is about a married couple here that had some marriage issues, as sometimes we do, and things got to be pretty bleak looking. But they were able to surrender those issues to the Lord, and God's grace came in, and now they're doing better than ever. Fourth story is about a family that dove into the adventure of foster care and had hoped to adopt one of the children that they were foster parents for, but it didn't work out. And the heartache and the grief that resulted was very, very difficult, but God's grace came and sustained them through that time. And then the final story is a story we all know and love, story of a family that went to Liberia and found themselves at the epidemic, the epicenter of an epidemic of Ebola, the greatest epidemic of Ebola in modern history, and yet God's grace was present in that moment in a powerful, special way. I want you to watch this video as these five stories are told of how God's overflowing grace occurred in their lives and in their stories. Watch this.
May your lovely grace abound in me, and may your love be shared with others through these open arms. Make this heart a place.
This last year, I prayed and prayed that God would allow me to make it to retirement so that I have more time for ministry. And the last 2 months, right before my retirement date, I had an incident on the job where I was shocked by high voltage, 480 volts, by equipment that malfunctioned. But I wasn't hurt. And after working 41 years for the electric company, God answered my prayers, I feel, and I was able to retire. And so I was able to volunteer and work in the food pantry, as well as working with John Scott in his ministry of transformation. And then I think God opened a door, new door of opportunity for us here at Southside. Bill Reed is a member of the Western Hills Church. And he said that because of his failing health, he needed somebody to volunteer to teach his classes that he'd been teaching for 23 years at the Abode Transitional Housing Complex. Dan Leaf and I teach classes four times a week there at the Abode Ministry, to men, about 20 men in each session. And it's been real rewarding this year to be able to teach in that ministry these men and share God's love and mercy and grace with them as they are deciding to make changes in their life, change the direction of their life. Grace has really overflowed in my life this year as I've been able to retire and get into these different ministries. I personally feel that God's grace has been the responsible for all the good things in my life, the good blessings in my life. The really great thing about grace, the really wonderful thing about grace, is that it doesn't just stop with me, but that I am able to share that, to offer God's great, wonderful grace to other people.
God is... Lindsay and I were your typical young family. We had our first daughter, Ella, and we were going to expand our family.
We struggled for 5 years. with infertility, and it just wasn't happening. And we just kind of thought, maybe we're not supposed to have any more kids. And I started praying, you know, just thanking God ahead of time for what He was going to do, because I really felt like He was going to do something, that something good was going to come from this. I just didn't know what. And so I changed my prayers from, you know, begging God for another child to, you know, thanking Him for what He was going to do in the future.
We had decided, Lindsay looked at me and she's like, I'm ready to adopt. And I looked at her and I was like, really? We're there. She's like, I'm there. I'm done. And so we just started making those calls.
Well, and I had to take a pregnancy test, because I had to get off my progesterone if I was pregnant. And the nurse had said, you know, you have to take a test. And I was like, oh, I don't want to do this, but I will. And so I found an old pregnancy test that was expired, and I thought, this thing isn't going to work.
For when we had Ella. So this thing was 5 years old.
It was old. Okay. I don't even, you know, and I thought, this thing isn't going to work. So when it showed up positive, I thought, something's wrong with this test. You know.
God took us from this struggle of being this new young family, the perfect little family, one child, ready to have number two, to going through that long tribulation, and teaching us a lot about His will, and then just overflowing us with grace and blessing with another child. And here we are with three, and now, you know, we look like a deer in headlights, like, oh no, now what are we doing now? You know, talking about the theme of grace and God's grace that He gives us freely. He doesn't, He gives it to us. It's a gift. And that is what He gave us in Kaysen and Everly.
Sing alleluia. You are all I need. Sing alleluia.
What happened? Well, I just saw things that were changing in 2013, towards the end.
I guess the main thing was a lot of our past came up. You know, and I don't want to say came up, but it...
I think Satan was just there. Yeah. He was ready.
Yeah.
He was just looking.
And
there was an open door.
Yeah, and he knew how to hit those points with me, you know?
Yeah.
And it just progressively got worse, and eventually we separated, and I moved out of the house. Mm-hmm. I say I got a wake-up call, and I just fall asleep at the wheel, and I wrecked my car. And, you know, I was by myself. And, of course, I had my family, you know, helping me, but I didn't have her.
I had to gain the trust and know that it wasn't the person that had left was coming back. It had to be David, one that, you know, puts God first above all, and that's who I wanted back. When all this happened, I just kept praying, and you know, I didn't know what was God's plans, but I knew whatever it was going to be, it was going to be okay.
Where we are now, I mean, we're at a better place than ever, I think. You know, it's better than ever, and neither she or I have done anything to deserve this happiness that we have. I mean, and it is all by God's grace that we're here.
Mm-hmm.
What is it, 11?
Hmm?
11. I think she loves me.
History, each day, I fall on my knees.
God called us to foster a little over a year ago, and so we got licensed and opened our home up, and we're blessed with a son that we adopted out of foster care, that's Dax, and we were also blessed with a baby girl that we brought home from the hospital. And you know, we had her till she was approximately 11 months old, and the system, you know, decided that she, after some quite a few court dates and some time in court, even with us, the courts decided that she would be placed with a relative. And that day that they came to pick her up, to take her to that relative, was probably the hardest day of our life.
I prayed really hard, and he told me that I could keep going and that more kids needed a place and that they needed a home, and that what we did for Angel was not forgotten by him. And I pray for her every day that she'll know Jesus and that she can become a Christian, and that I'm honored to be able to pray for her, that I can give her that gift. If I'm not with her every day, I can pray for her.
Kind of the motto that she and I have been living by is, we don't want to stop this because of Angel. We want to continue because of Angel.
It is hard, but God just provided so many people from our kids' school, from here, from family, friends, that just told us that we can keep going. And that God's grace does overflow.
We share with others through these open arms. Make this heart a place where tender mercy overflows.
Life in Liberia was full of the grace of God every day. I mean, everybody knows the story of how I got Ebola and how God saved my life. And that is a dramatic expression or experience of God's grace. But there are so many other things along the way and around that story of my illness that to us were such evidence of God's faithfulness and grace in our lives.
One of the stories that I like to tell as an illustration of the overflowing of God's grace was how he protected the children while Kent was sick. He was in Liberia for 9 days sick in bed, and we were given a secluded home to live in, and we were surrounded by family and friends. And Kent's sister-in-law flew down from Michigan to take care of the kids once I went to Atlanta, and took them home with her to Michigan. And they lived with her for 3 weeks, 3 weeks while he was in the hospital. And during that time, they did remarkably well. Like, you wouldn't know that they were scared or frightened, or I'm not even sure how curious they were what was going on. They knew we were sad, and they knew Daddy was sick and that he was coming to the hospital in America. But they were so good and flexible and obedient and respectful.
Cooperative.
Very cooperative. Like, nice. And they were so well taken care of that it was just God's telling. I felt it was for me. It was a gift for me to know that the kids were so well watched over by him and his Holy Spirit, that were just, it's like they were living in a little bubble. It was so great. And we're all back to normal now.
Whatever that is.
Yeah.
abound in me.
I want to thank Joan Smith again for her putting that together. As I watched this video a couple times yesterday, it occurred to me, God really showed up this year. And he made himself very evident in powerful ways. And he deserves all praise and glory for his grace overflowing among us. And as I thought about those stories, there's one indirect theme running on those stories, and that theme is surrender. Grace is about surrender. It's about a retired man saying, Lord, I'm going to use my retirement. I'm going to surrender that time for you. It's about a married couple dealing with the past and surrendering that past and saying, I'm going to forgive that past and I'm going to move on and I'm going to go and we're going to make things right. It's about a young family dealing with infertility and taking that struggle. Did you hear her say that? She changed her prayer instead of saying, I want that child to, Lord, use this. Thank you for how you're going to use this. That's surrender. That's surrender. And then taking a family who is dealing with incredible heartache because they wanted to adopt this child and God's grace was there. They surrendered that and say, Lord, we will be the place for children. We'll continue to be that place for children. And then with the Brantleys, surrendering themselves, going to Liberia, staying there in the midst of the Ebola epidemic, and God's grace coming in a powerful way in the midst of their surrender. Surrender goes in concert with grace. And when we open ourselves up to God and we surrender to Him, God comes with His overflowing grace in powerful ways. This hit me one time this year, and I don't remember what day it was. I was driving home, been working on my sermon, was thinking about grace, and it hit me as I was driving home that to be a church where grace overflows, for me to be a person where grace overflows, it was going to involve surrender. And I remember as I thought that thought and it all clicked with me, I remember thinking, I don't know if I want to be a person where grace overflows. Because I'm going to have to surrender. I'm going to have to surrender. God may call me to the Ninevehs of the world and maybe I don't want to go there. Maybe God will allow me to have certain trials and sufferings and maybe I don't want to experience them. But to be a church where grace overflows means to be a church that surrenders to God. And says, God, we are your handiwork, and you are the conductor, and you shape us and form us and mold us to play the music you desire. And when we do that, when we do surrender, as we see in these stories, God plays great music through his overflowing grace. And so as we reflect back in 2014, we praise God. We praise God for him teaching us that grace is not cheap, but it comes with a cost. We praise God that he allowed us to trust in the midst of grief, in the midst of heartache. We thank God and we praise him that, yes, we are different in so many different ways, but through grace we have been made one. We praise God for the sick that have been healed, for the marriages that have been reconciled, for the wonderful ways in which God has worked. We praise God for people who answered the call. I wish I had time to talk about Daniel and Felicia Torres, who answered the call to ministry and are willing to go to the Ninevehs of the world to proclaim the grace of God. We praise God for friendships strengthened, for gifts that are being used, for prayers that are being prayed. We praise God for blessings like new children that have been received, for ministry opportunities that have been opened. We praise God that in 2014, God's grace overflowed. And the church says together, amen. God, we want to come to you right now and we want to say thank you. Thank you for this year. Thank you for your power. Thank you for your faithfulness. And thank you for your grace that accepts us right where we are, but invites us into a new way of life, a way of life of surrender. And when we surrender to you, Lord, you've shown over and over again that your grace overflows. And so we give you praise in the name of Jesus. Amen. We're going to have our time of invitation, and our elders are going to surround the auditorium. If you need prayer, encouragement, strength for this week, I encourage you to walk to one of our elders. They'll pray with you right there. Maybe you're ready to become a Christian this morning, to receive God's grace in baptism, to repent of your sins, be baptized into Christ. We'd love to welcome you into God's family. If we can help you this morning, please come. Let's stand. Let's sing at this time.